Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
For today's Banner of Truth broadcast, dear friends, we want to consider the gospel tidings from King Jehoiakim's amazing ending. Both the book of 2 Kings and the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, when telling about the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem and the exile of the covenant people into Babylon, you have this little note or postscript in those two books about what happened yet to captive King Jehoiakim in Babylon. Both these books, as I hope to show, end thus with a true glimmer of hope in a setting of so much gloom and doom. Can you think of a time when you faced a really dark situation, when yet in the middle of it there was something that gave you a little hope, something to give you some comfort in the midst of so many tears? Jumping forward to the New Testament age, for the disciples, surely how dark and hopeless everything seemed when Jesus had died. All happy anticipation of real joy and change for good was completely dashed and crushed when Jesus was crucified and died on the cross and his lifeless corpse laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But then, the third day, Jesus arose from the dead, as he said, and all became light and joy and hope and peace inexpressible and unending, that is, for all who trusted and believed on him. Truly, as preacher Jonathan Edwards also once said, the resurrection of Christ is the most joyful event that ever came to pass. But now, going back, dear friends, about 500 years before Jesus came, and Jesus served as the Christ, crucified and risen Savior, before that, listen to this Old Testament foreshadowing of Easter hope. This King Jehoiakim, who actually was he? Jehoiakim was the second last king of Judah, the one who came after Jehoiakim and who came just before Zedekiah. King Jehoiakim was that wicked king who brazenly burned section after section of the Word of God from the prophet Jeremiah, as told in Jeremiah chapter 36. King Zedekiah was the last king of Judah, also a wicked king. And the Bible tells about the awful end and horrific death Zedekiah met with at the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar as just punishment from God for all his evil, unrepentant sins. Well, this King Jehoiakim was between these two last kings. According to 2 Kings 24, verse 6, he was born of the wicked Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim, sadly, like his father, did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was only 18 years of age when he began to reign, and he ruled only for a very short time, namely just over 3 months. What happened to him then? The Bible tells us he was taken captive to Babylon in the year 597 BC. You can read this all in 2 Kings 24, and it is mentioned in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24, verse 1, and in Ezekiel, chapter 17, verse 12. King Nebuchadnezzar also then made Zedekiah to serve as king, replacement king over Judah in Jehoiakim's place, while Jehoiakim was sent off to prison in Babylon. Yet in all his time in Babylon, this Jehoiakim, though a prisoner, he continued to be viewed as part of the royalty of Jerusalem. He was now another captive trophy, you might say, of Nebuchadnezzar's many captives from the nations he conquered. This Jehoiakim remained for years a royal hostage in prison in Babylon. Something to take note of when you try to recover from Scripture all we can know about Jehoiakim is that sometimes he is also called just Coniah, as in Jeremiah 22, verse 8, or elsewhere as Jeconiah, as in 1 Chronicles 3, verse 17, and later also in Matthew chapter 1. Interestingly, in that chapter of 1 Chronicles 3, seven sons of Jehoiakim are mentioned, though not one would succeed him on the throne, as foretold also in Jeremiah 22, verse 30. This was a further judgment from God, surely, for the wicked and idolatrous ways of the people and their leaders before the Lord and their neighbor. There will be no more king from Jehoiakim coming on the throne of Judah. Just a point of interest to note here yet too is that there has been archaeological discoveries of reference to this King Jehoiakim and his sons held hostage in Babylon. But now let us come to our text further. What happened, as told in our text, long after Judah had been overtaken and the temple destroyed and the city of Jerusalem demolished? What was this surprising ending in the life of King Jehoiakim? We are told in both 2 Kings 25 and Jeremiah 52 that in the 37th year of the exile, the Jewish exile and captivity in Babylon, the new king of Babylon, by name of Evil-Merodach, also called Amel-Marduk, started to deal very kindly with this former King Jehoiakim. We are given the year and the month and the day when this former King Jehoiakim gets released from prison. He's not then only granted his freedom, but the text also says he was given a new wardrobe of clothes, and he was granted to sit and to eat with the king of Babylon. He became, we are told, the recipient of the king's bounty, given a kingly allowance till the day of his death, all the days of his life. In other words, there came this major turnaround for him, for Jehoiakim, from prison to palace, a little like what happened to Joseph in Egypt long before. It is not that Jehoiakim was given a position of authority or rule, like with Joseph, but he was treated, Jehoiakim, with the respect due to a king. That is clear. We know nothing of how severe Jehoiakim's years in a Babylonian prison cell would have been, but the fact was, now he gets released from it. And on top of that, he is treated most royally. In fact, this Jehoiakim, according to 2 Kings 25, verse 28, even gets a seat above the seats of the other captive kings that were with him in Babylon. As one put it, a sharper contrast is hardly imaginable. We don't know for certain what motivated this sudden change on the part of the Babylonians towards captive King Jehoiakim. It is noteworthy that it happened at the beginning of the rule of a new king for Babylon. And there are Jewish records stating that this king may himself have been in prison for a while for some wrongdoings, and that there he met with imprisoned Jehoiakim and became friends with him. But since Scripture tells us nothing of this, surely we must conclude this was simply an act of God's divine providence, and with a significant message of hope, too. The fact that it is twice mentioned in Scripture, where it is, at the end of the very sad story of the destruction of Judah, should help us see God here is wanting to convey good news in the midst of so much evil and tragedy. As one commentary put it, this last section in both 2 Kings and Jeremiah is given by divine inspiration as a whisper of hope. A whisper of hope. To see this more with me, think again of the dark context of this story. We read in both 2 Kings 25 and Jeremiah 52, not just of the fall of Jerusalem, but of its destruction and of the dismal, discouraging news of the people left behind there. There was disorder and murder and chaos and poverty left behind in Jerusalem. What a mess and misery and state of ruins the once royal city of David was now. Plus, then, you had the Babylonian captivity, with so many of the most promising Jews captive in that foreign pagan land. Oh, how hopeless everything looked! Can you imagine, as the years went by in captivity, for whoever was a true child of God in Babylon, how dismal and discouraging everything must have seemed? But now, right in the middle of the 70-year captivity, as God had foretold it would be, there comes this sudden, dramatic turnaround of one who was still looked upon as a king of Judah. How the news must have spread about the good treatment, the kind and honorable treatment being shown yet to Jehoiakim and his family. It was certainly all so undeserved and all so unexpected. But it happened, we may believe, yes, by God's gracious design and in his covenant faithfulness still to his people and to his gospel promise of sending one day the Messiah King. God had not forgotten his promises. Listen to how one commentator thus described the same, stating that, quote, "This joyful termination of Jehoiakim's imprisonment lay ultimately in the gracious decree of God, that the seed of David, though severely chastised for its apostasy from the Lord, should not be utterly rejected." See 2 Samuel 7, verse 14 to 15. At the same time, writes this commentator, this event was also intended as a comforting sign to the whole of the captive people, that the Lord would one day put an end to their banishment, if they would acknowledge that it was a well-merited punishment for their sins, that they had been driven away from before his face, and would again turn to the Lord their God with all their heart. Here it is very interesting and special to take note of too, dear friends, what Matthew does in his gospel account in chapter 1, when giving the genealogy of Jesus from Abraham onwards. Most strikingly, in that passage, Matthew chapter 1, written especially to the Jews, this Jehoiakim gets mentioned twice in that family tree, once in verse 11 and then again in verse 12 of Matthew 1. In both cases, he's called Jechonias. And that tells us we should take special note of this Jehoiakim or Jechonias. And we read in that passage too of Matthew 1 of one of his grandsons named Zerubbabel. And you know what is so precious about that? Do you know the Zerubbabel person and history in the Old Testament? This Zerubbabel, again with different spelling somewhat, though never sitting on the throne of David, yet he was the leader of the Jews who returned from captivity in the days of Ezra. You can read of him in that book of Ezra and in some other Old Testament books as well. For instance, we read in Zechariah 4, verse 9, that it was by the hands of Zerubbabel, as leader of returning Jews, that the new foundation for the restored temple in Jerusalem was built. Oh, how wonderful this all is, truly. The gospel point is here, you see, that God in wrath remembered mercy, and in Jehoiakim's family line there was a godly seed, and a leader, even, of the people who returned from Babylon back to Jerusalem after the 70 years in captivity. He was not on the throne, Zerubbabel, but he was a main leader. It could be, too, that Jehoiakim himself became truly a converted man, but we don't know that. We do know God worked mightily through his family, giving faithful believers among them, Zerubbabel for one. In this way, then, you see, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit guiding the writers of Scripture, just the ending of 2 Kings and Jeremiah telling of the sudden change and exaltation of Jehoiakim, there is the hint, you see, or suggestion of so much gospel hope indeed. Oh, do you see this with me, the whisper of hope? The whisper of hope becomes greater and greater when you see it in the context of the whole of God's Word and in view ultimately of the gospel of Jesus Christ as crucified and risen Redeemer. Why did God in wrath remember mercy to the captive people in Babylon? We know finally it was because God, in the fullness of time, would send his own Son to serve as the great Son of David and as the Messiah King, who himself would bear the full and eternal wrath of God for sin in the sinner's place. God, in sparing Jehoiakim and his family in Babylon, was preparing further for the fulfillment of all his gospel promises in spite of the people and their sinful and wayward ways. God's righteous fury for the sins of his people would ultimately fall on his own beloved Son as sin-bearer and savior of sinners. So we see precisely also in this time, when all seemed utterly hopeless, right in the middle of the 70-year captivity, when, as one put it, the covenant people were trampled, beaten down, and teetering between faith and compromise, that the Son of Righteousness then began to blaze and to rise with healing in his wings, as Prophet Malachi tells about. Salvation is the work of the Lord because of his undying faithfulness in spite of all our sin and unfaithfulness. Indeed, this is the gracious and glorious gospel news, isn't it? And because Jesus also would and did make a complete payment for sin and give a perfect righteous sacrifice to God on behalf of sinners, so he also triumphantly arose from the dead. He arose, as he promised he would, to show and to share his purchase of salvation for all his elect people, even for as many as repent of sin and trust and follow him. Think in this regard, dear friends, how our prison rags of sin, living in this fallen world, in captivity and bondage to evil and Satan, how through Christ Jesus, by grace through faith in him, you and I may find full and free deliverance from our sins and be supplied with robes of righteousness and given the bounty of the King of Kings supplies in all our needs and made heirs of the heavenly kingdom and granted to sit at the King's table, ever to feed on and to enjoy his salvation benefits to us. Isn't this amazing? As unexpected and surprising and marvelous as was the turnaround in Jehoiakim's life in Babylon, so much more is the turnaround for God's people in and through Christ as the crucified and risen Savior for all his own. Thinking of our text telling of the ending of Jehoiakim, giving a whisper of hope in Scripture, are not the tidings of Jesus and him risen again like an unending river, an ocean of hope for us and for this sinful, perishing world still? This Babylonian king was, as far as we know, just another heathen king. Though, interestingly, there are some non-biblical historical records which suggest he was much taught and influenced by Daniel in Babylon, and it could be. But regardless, this evil Merodach in no way compares to the King of Kings, who is only always perfect and just, gracious and merciful, holy and righteous in all his ways and doings. And behold, what God triune would and did accomplish for us in and through his only begotten Son, come to this earth, Jesus Christ the Savior. In the destruction of Israel and Judah, as told in the Old Testament, we have a glimpse of how utterly hopeless and dismal all of life is in this fallen world left to ourselves. Even for the most religious of people, apart from God in Christ Jesus and true faith in him, all is hopeless and dark and dismal and doom and gloom without a glimmer of light or a whisper of hope even. But in the gospel word, as given to us by God in all the Holy Bible, including the two passages about Jehoiakim, there is not only a whisper of hope given to us, dear friends, but a whirlwind of hope that becomes indeed an endless fountain of everlasting hope to all who believe God's word and trust and follow the Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, revealed to us therein. How precious is the gospel of Jesus Christ as given to us in all the Bible. How we need this gospel word too, isn't it true? I mean, what dark and dismal times we live in today. Who will not admit this? Not only is our world so steeped in wickedness and evil, but in the visible Christian churches, how much apostasy and falsehood in doctrine and conduct is not only found, but actually applauded and approved even. What hope is there for God's faithful people and for the increase of His true church today and in the generations following, living in the perilous times we do? Listen, dear friends, there is so much hope still and reason for great hopefulness looking ahead, seeing Jesus, the Savior of sinners, has risen from the dead and reigns on the throne above as King of kings and Lord of lords. As one preacher recently put it, quote, Jesus' resurrection has made it utterly safe for God's people to face anything in this world, for the resurrection is God's declaration that even death cannot defeat His own. How true that is. Don't we have to say, in fact, there is absolutely no hopeless situation for God's people when trusting Christ Jesus as crucified and risen Savior of sinners? The call of the gospel, also this broadcast, is that we each and all be sure to be turning from sin and evil and wholeheartedly trusting and following Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord. Is that what you are doing too, dear children and young people and adults and older ones? The sad reality was and remains, all too many can't be bothered really to hear the gospel and refuse to take it seriously. How many of the covenant people of God in captivity in Babylon became like Babylonians in the long run, turning away from the one true God and going their own sinful ways instead? As I said, we have no record that Jehoiakim himself ever truly turned from his sinful ways. Whether he did or not is not important as such either, for God knows. But the question whether you are truly converted and genuinely repent of sin and follow after Christ Jesus, that is important right now, isn't it? Are you born again, converted to God, trusting Jesus as only Savior? Are you living and loving members of Christ's church, or are you living sinfully and stubbornly resistant to the gospel call, serving sinful self and this rebellious and ungodly world instead? Listen, you don't even have a whisper of hope if you live and die without Christ Jesus as your only Savior and Lord. John 3:36 states so emphatically thus, He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides or remains on him. For we live in the full gospel age, and as stated in Hebrews 2 verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect, that is, discount or reject so great salvation as made known to us in the New Testament times and Christian church today? Will you hear the gospel call and come to the Savior today, dear friends? Come while He yet calls to you and offers you pardon and peace in and through His saving work, also for a guilty, depraved sinner like yourself. Won't you be persuaded by the compelling power of the risen Savior calling to you through His Spirit and Word? On the other hand, perhaps there's a child of God hearing this message who is just so down and discouraged in life, or confused and troubled by this and that from yourself or from others. Maybe you are one so distressed you just can't even begin to hope for better times, and you more or less have given up hope for a new day and for a good future in your life. It could be that you look at your sinful past and your sinful tendencies still all too often, and you conclude, you know, it's simply more hopeless with me than hopeful. Well, think again here of this Jehoiakim. It was in his 37th year of captivity in Babylon that his circumstances were suddenly and dramatically changed. 37 years is a long time in a prison cell, wouldn't you agree? Yet there came a day, suddenly by God's mercy, also for him, when there was a great change. How true in this regard what Matthew Henry wrote about our scripture text for this broadcast. He wrote, To have honor and liberty at last, after Jehoiakim had been so long in confinement and disgrace was like the return of the morning star after a very dark and tedious night. Let none say that they shall never see good again, because they have long seen little but evil. No, goes on Matthew Henry, for the most miserable know not what blessed turn God's providence may yet give to their affairs. When therefore we are perplexed and distressed and depressed, let us not be in despair. Indeed, dear struggling people of God, think here again of this Zerubbabel, grandson of Jehoiakim. Just consider the rubbles and ruins and obstacles and, humanly speaking, hopeless situation Zerubbabel and those with him, the returning Jews, would have encountered coming back to the destroyed and broken down city of Jerusalem. Yet we read in Zechariah 4, verse 6, these gloriously encouraging gospel words from the prophet Zechariah. Who art thou, O great mountain? Mountain of difficulties, that is. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof. Speaking of the new temple to be built, he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Doesn't that sound so encouraging? You see, the glorious Christian gospel promise is as given and assured to us not just by what happened to this King Jehoiakim, but far better as given to us in and through Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior. The glorious good news is there is everlasting hope for all who trust and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no situation, nor need, nor sin, or temptation, or dark circumstance in which he can't and won't come to our rescue, even as you and I ever look to him and call upon him for his mercy and grace. Don't let your troubles and struggles, your sins and temptations, your sorrows and hurts keep you away from the crucified and risen Savior God, but come to him and tell and confess all to him every day again. So also Psalm 50, verse 15, exhorts in God's name, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Those are not empty words, dear friends, considering also Jehoiakim's empty prison cell, and far more considering Jesus' empty tomb. Oh, may God triune so bless his word now then, even about obscure King Jehoiakim's amazing ending. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.